key players for the Bengals still not traded and free agents still remain as this offseason winds down and heads into the summer. I'm Adam Wright. This is the Fumblerooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that sixth or seventh spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumblerooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. Adam Wright here with CJ Medeiros. So the offseason is definitely winding down. Excuse me. We're getting to a point where there's not much going on, but there's still a lot of players who are left available via free agency. There's a couple of players who have pending trade requests that we are wondering, are they going to be honored? Are they going to be remaining on their teams? We're not quite sure right now. But we would like to discuss it and give an update on everything that's going on now that the offseason is starting to wind down. Draft, it's been almost a month. The free agency is pretty much winded down. I mean, it's usually the first week where it's really going. And after that, there's not too much going on. And I'm sure you guys won't be too upset by it because the summertime is probably, I mean, it's my favorite season. You know, there's not, it's a time where, yes, football is slow, but you don't really need football. You can go to the beach, you can go out, you can enjoy the nice weather. You can't really do that during football season. During football season, it's, especially in New England where we are, it's very, I don't like winters here. I'll just be upfront about that. But we'll lead off with the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll lead off with the Cincinnati Bengals and their whole situation with two key players who have requested to be traded right before the draft. T. Higgins, even sooner, even longer before then, he requested a trade twice. He said he wanted to be traded. Then he reiterated on it right before the draft, which tells me he wanted to be traded in the most opportune moment during a time when players, when teams are looking to trade their day two picks for players like T. Higgins or a day one pick. If the Bengals are lucky enough, I didn't see it, but it's, you know, it's a possibility. We have to consider everything, but so did Trey Hendrickson. So their wide receiver two, who is not your ordinary wide receiver two, and they're arguably their best defender in Trey Hendrickson, who's been one of their sack leaders for the past few years. Been a huge part of this defense during their time where they've been in Super Bowl contention when Joe Burrow's healthy, of course. But this Bengals team, now that we already talked about on our last episode how they just lost Tyler Boyd, he's not a real wide receiver one, I would say. A lot of people like to make that argument. He's close. He's a high-end two, I would say. But he's still he's still a two. And T. Higgins was, now that leaves T. Higgins as your actual two. And he has requested a trade. Ja'Marr Chase is still on the team, but he does get hurt sometimes. And you need a little bit more than just one target. So these are some big names who requested to be traded, and the Bengals are just hanging on. They're barely hanging on to playoff contention right now, or I would say Super Bowl contention still. I think they still have that roster as long as Burrow stays healthy. But CJ, what do you see happening here with T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson?
I don't know why, but I'm not really panicking for Cincy. I'm not, because we see this every offseason. You know, there's always a player that's unhappy, and it always just works out. They always like rustle up the amount of money they need, and magically everything's happy. But despite the fact that we are given this little song and dance with different players every offseason, this is different because it's not just that T. Higgins wants to be traded. You know, he wants a big boy deal, and rightfully so. It's that Ja'Marr Chase also is going to need a contract unless they pick up his fifth year option or unless they tag him. But I just, so here's the thing. T. Higgins, as we all know, is on the franchise tag. And every team, you can use it once. You get one tag. And let's just say this, their next offseason rolls around. You can't tag both Higgins and Chase. And to Cincy, the longer you wait on this, the more likely it will be that you will have to make a choice. And obviously you'd go with Chase. But on the flip side, you don't want to lose Higgins for absolutely nothing. And a lot of what I think it is just Cincy, I've heard at some points, just got greedy. They just said, no, first rounder, no deal. And every NFL team they spoke to said, all right, fair's fair, no deal. And it's getting to the point where the longer you do this, the more you hurt yourself. Because I hate to break it to you, Bengals, you do not have leverage. You don't. Any leverage you had ended after the draft. And, I mean, for example, who would he have gone to? The Chargers? No, probably. I mean, not now, I don't think. New England? No, they just drafted two receivers. Like, anywhere where he could have possibly gone are not really open for business, I don't think. And it is worth noting, it's not the craziest thing in the world, but I do want to point out that they did draft the Bengals. They did draft the Alabama receiver, Jermaine Burton, I believe, in round three. So they're probably going to attempt to slot him in right away. But I don't know. I feel like Higgins, if I were a betting man, I'd probably say Higgins stays on the team. But and so does Chase. They're just going to try to make it work out in the end. I don't know. Maybe Burrow's going to give Higgins the come to Jesus talk, but I don't know. We just see the same thing every year, and every year it's the same result. However, like I said, I do want to warn the Bengals that the longer you wait, the more likely it is that Higgins is out that door. And quick note about Trey Hendrickson. I would say he's more likely to remain a Bengal than Higgins. I mean, I'm not really worried. He's your best defender. Your GM, whose name escapes me, would need to have a screw loose, perhaps two, if they actually decide to ship off Hendrickson. And I would say, as of now, though Adam mentioned, and I think he's right, that you do need more than just Chase, you also don't want to lose your best defender either. And so if you're the Bengals, you have to choose between Chase and Higgins and Hendrickson. If you have your wits about you, you should probably take Hendrickson. But if I'm the Bengals, that's what I would do. I would take Hendrickson first, and this might be a case with Higgins where it might just be better to get something for him.
So with Trey Hendrickson, Zach Taylor has stated right after the trade request, it's worth noting that he did say that Trey Hendrickson is expected to play for the Bengals this season.
Oh, but, so it's not like a five alarm fire then.
So it looks like that trade request is going to fall on deaf ears. However, he said the same thing about Jonah Williams. And then Jonah Williams ended up leaving in free agency the next year. So that is something that's worth noting, that Williams requested to be traded last offseason. He ended up staying with the team for a year. And then he ended up getting his money for the Arizona Cardinals. So that's something to consider, that maybe he stays, but he'll be there for he'll be there for the time being. And then once his contract is up, he's out.
Yeah. He has a 2-year deal, if that's what you were wondering.
Right. So he can wait this out and he can eventually have his trade request honored. So there's time. But on T. Higgins, like, all I'm saying is you need a little more than what you have. And I understand that you have two wide receiver ones, one A and one B almost. But you need more than just Jamar Chase. I know Chase is one of the most explosive weapons there is when he plays a full season. but you still need a little bit of something else. Because when Ja'Marr Chase disappears, who do you have? You really don't have anything. And I think you bring up a fair point about Ja'Marr Chase, how he needs to get paid eventually too. So with all of these players, these star players who are due for big deals, they're not really dealing with the problem. It seems like they're just kicking the can further down the road. So T. Higgins, he was a free agent this year. They decided to just franchise tag him. It was looking like they were going to trade him. They said they're not. Then T. Higgins said, I expect to be on the team next year. Then he reiterated a trade request. So something feels off there. And it definitely looks like they're procrastinating. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson are all unsigned right now to their long-term deals that they want. And the more you wait, the less cap space you're going to have during that one offseason where you want to re-sign these players. And don't forget, there's other players that you need to keep too, right? You have a whole offensive line of players that you need in order to protect Joe Burrow. And if you're getting rid of, if you're mortgaging your offensive line for your skill position players, you're just going to get Joe Burrow killed. So you're just making this you're making this issue a lot more complicated, and it could. And don't forget, they're also still trying to win a Super Bowl here. So this could cause for some distractions off the field while you might be in contention and trying to win a Super Bowl and, you know, trying to go into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs again. Might make things a little more difficult. And, oh, by the way, the Texans are around. And they look like probably the toughest team in the AFC right now. So you have your share of challenges, and you've kind of put all of these, you're pushing this all into one tiny little window of time where you're expecting to solve all of these issues at the same time, all while trying to win a Super Bowl during your Super Bowl window. Tell me how that makes any sense to me.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And if I may say so myself, the way Cincy is handling this, and you've said it and now I'm saying it, it's just ass backwards. It really is. The longer you continue, you know, I feel like kicking the can down the road is too generous a metaphor. This is like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand, just saying, nope, if I ignore it, maybe it'll go away. Well, it's not. And this is going to snowball. That's what it is, because you still have that whole Ja'Marr Chase issue lingering in the background. And granted that he's probably going to be their top priority to get back, but do you really want to risk pissing him off too?
Yeah. And it's going to take a lot for Ja'Marr Chase, because he's best buds with Joe Burrow, who loves it in Cincinnati. And I really do believe they are going to eventually re-sign Chase. Oh, yeah, I'm more worried about T. Higgins being pushed out, because at least Burrow and Chase, they almost come in a pair. They're the dynamic duo for the Bengals offense. I'm not worried about those two. I'm more worried about Higgins. And the reason I'm worried about Higgins is because I feel like it's hard to replace such a high caliber wide receiver. And if you just don't do it and just stick with just those two of Burrow and Chase, then I think you're going to have a harder, time than people really think. Like, T. Higgins has been a pretty big part of this offense. And during the few times where Ja'Marr Chase has been out, Burrow has still been able to use Higgins as a wide receiver one in an effective way. It's almost like they don't skip a beat when it's just Higgins and Boyd. So you still need something there. And if you're using all your money on just Burrow, Chase, and if you re-sign Hendrickson, then that doesn't leave much money for other players to make this a more balanced, multi-dimensional offense.
Yeah, pretty much. I just, I don't really see the Bengals winning this situation regardless. You know what I mean? Like, this is just, I guess all the contracts were stacked together like the wrong time. But I don't know. I mean, you obviously are going to have a time and a half replacing Higgins. I mean, no one's going to say it's easy. However, at this point, do you consider cutting your losses if you're Cincy and just trying to get something for him? Because I've said it before and I will say it again, they do not have leverage. I keep hearing about, oh, they want a first rounder. Yeah, you're not getting it. And like I said, the longer you wait, the less leverage you will have, and it's already not looking good.
They're too far along in this process. If they wanted anything for him at all, they would have wanted to trade him before the draft or even on day one of the draft to get one of those early second round picks, because there was a lot of demand for wide receivers in that late first, early second round. They could have easily gotten themselves a second round or even a late first round pick. Imagine T. Higgins as a Chief. I feel like the Chiefs would have done that. Only problem is the Bengals. I don't know if the Bengals
would have dealt him.
Bengals probably wouldn't have either. And also, I don't think they would have done it with the Bills either. But either way, if they wanted a first-round pick, the opportunity was there. And there's also the Panthers, who traded up to take Xavier Leggett. Why didn't you trade T. Higgins then? Right? That was the opportunity. It was on day one of the draft. That's when teams get desperate for their wide receiver one. T. Higgins is available. The 49ers had Brandon Ayuk. If you were going to trade him, they would be then. But I feel like now you're kind of at a point. You're kind of backed into a corner. You got to make sure. I think you either let him go in free agency or trade him. You either do one of those. You let him go in whichever way you choose to do that. Or you bite the bullet and you pay him what he wants. And then you find a way in the meantime to pay Jamar Chase.
Yep, those do seem to be the options. But Adam, I do want to ask you something before we end the segment.
Yeah.
Just in your humble opinion, how do you see this ending? Like, what happens? Like, does he stay? Does he go? Do they trade him? Do they not? Like, because it seems, like I said, the longer they wait, the worse and worse their options get.
I think with T. Higgins, it's a very similar situation to Jonah Williams this last offseason. He ends up being back, but then he leaves in free agency. And then it's with Trey Hendrickson, I think it's going to end up being okay because he's on a 2-year deal. So they have time to figure things out.
Sure.
Double check that for me.
All right.
But I think T. Higgins is gone after this season, most likely. I think they're going to go all in to try and win this championship. And if they don't, then they don't. And then T. Higgins is just gone. He'll leave in free agency and go somewhere else. I think Trey Hendrickson is the more likely to stay than T. Higgins at some point during this 2-year span.
I just want to say I believe he is, signed through this year and next, because it says on overthecap.com his contract ends after 2025.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got 2 more years.
Yeah. Okay. I want to move on. We are going to go to some of the remaining free agents who are available, particularly on the defensive side. There's still some notable players out there who could help some teams who are in need, particularly in the secondary. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So, free agency, again, like it has long been in this offseason pretty quiet. as things have begun to wind down. That doesn't mean there aren't some pretty big names who are available. And I'll start it off, CJ, but Justin Simmons, he has been one of the best safeties in the game for quite some time. The only thing is he is 30, but if he were to get a 2-3 year deal, he's been one of the best safeties out there, and he hasn't exactly slowed down.
It's true. I don't know why he hasn't been signed yet. And I do think a 2-3 year deal is fair, especially since I've noticed that safeties do tend to have a bit of a longer shelf life than corners. So I guess I just don't understand why he is still available. I mean, maybe he wants too much. Maybe it's I don't know. This is the weird part of the offseason where there are some players that, I mean, starting caliber, I mean, that might be underselling it, especially for a guy like Simmons, that are just still there. And I just don't know why. But I definitely feel like he will be on a roster before week one kickoff, and some team is going to be thanking their lucky stars that they grabbed him.
Yeah, especially you can understand with the nature of the position why they have such a longer shelf life than corners. Because with corners, you really have to be attached at the hip to these wide receivers. And wide receivers nowadays, they're very speedy. They're easy to lose. So it makes sense that when these corners get older, especially the elite ones who are assigned to these unbelievably talented wide receivers like Justin Jefferson or AJ Brown or CeeDee Lamb, right? They fall off pretty quickly. But here's another name. Carl Lawson.
Yeah. So the thing with Carl Lawson is just, I remember when he first signed with the Jets after having a breakout season with the Bengals. And for those of you who don't remember, he like got hurt from the get-go. And it just felt like he never lived up to that. It was like a 3-year, 50-some-odd million deal that the Jets originally gave him. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I guess I'd say I'm surprised he hasn't signed yet, because, I mean, he's definitely one of those guys that maybe you could get like a 1-year prove-it deal out of him, But, like, I don't understand why he's still a free agent. I mean, he's another guy where you could definitely, like, take a flyer on him at minimum. But, like I said, this is that one part of the offseason where you realize certain guys haven't been signed. You're just like, huh, that's weird.
Well, the thing is, he's always kind of been he's a little overrated. He's always been a rotational pass rusher. He's never played above 68% of the defensive snaps.
That's true.
In fact, not even close. 42% in 2017, 44% the next year, 57%, 68% in 2020. That was his career high. Then 2022 with the Jets, it was 58%. Now, he's racked up the stats in that time. In each of the last three full seasons he has gone, he's gotten 5 sacks or more, which is pretty good. He had a good rookie season. He had 8.5 sacks. And he's pretty solid with tackles for loss. He's kind of a rotational guy. But this is kind of that time. Like, late free agency is that time of year where it's not like you're looking for needs. You're looking for that tiny little piece that you're looking for. That little, like, just a little something, that tiny pickup that you're trying to get in order to help beef up your defense, not to make your defense right. If Carl Lawson if he's your centerpiece to your defense out of your free agency class that you sign, chances are you didn't have that good of an offseason. But if things are winding down, and let's say the New England Patriots added him to beef up their pass rushing depth, that's not a bad signing, right? Because they're, I mean, they don't need it that well. They don't need it that badly. They have Matt Judon and Josh Uche, and they also have Christian Barmore, who can make it into the backfield himself. So if Carl Lawson was added to that mix, right? He's not a central piece to your team, but he's a rotational guy. And I think that's something that you should consider. Another player that I wanted to look at was Stephon Gilmore. I like Gilmore because he can still play and he can play at a small price because he is a veteran. But make no mistake, he's still a pretty good corner in this league.
Yeah, I mean, granted, he's always been pretty low-key, right? But it's not like he was bad for Dallas.
Yeah, well, he was never bad for Dallas. I always thought he was a pretty good corner. Like, he's not the defensive player of the year he was in 2019. But he's still a pretty good player I always thought he was good for Dallas because they've always had those corners. They've always had those corners who are ball hawks who can create turnovers, right? But with Stephon Gilmore, he's very different. He won't turn the ball over very much. He catches his interceptions, don't get me wrong. However, when it comes to just cover, just making wide receivers almost disappear or limiting what they're able to do, I think that was good for Dallas. And there has to be a team out there. I think there's plenty of teams out there right now who could use some secondary help, who could use that one corner who can, I wouldn't say shut down that side of the field anymore because I don't think he's that good anymore, but he's still good enough so that he can help at least fade it away, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions, off the top of my head. Yeah, they got Terry and Arnold, but they could use another corner.
Yeah, no, they definitely could. Another team that I think that it would be smart for them to sign Gilmore. What about the Seahawks? You know, you've got a very young defensive backfield with guys like Devin Witherspoon, Tariq Woolen, and Kobe Bryant. And so why not bring in Gilmore, you know, former defense player of the year, to come in and mentor them, especially since Woolen and Bryant, I mean, especially Woolen took a step back and Bryant was just kind of okay. I mean, Witherspoon's going to be fine, but why not have that extra piece of insurance? Same thing can be said for New England. You know, you have a promising young corner in Christian Gonzalez, and why not bring in Gilmore just kind of like as a mentor guy? Because if you have like a young corner, right, a guy who is already looking like he can be a stud, it almost behooves you to take a flyer on him.
You just want to see Gonzalez back in a Patriots uniform, don't you?
Well, Gonzalez already in a Patriots uniform, so I think.
Gilmore, I mean.
I mean, logistically, but I mean, as a fan, yeah, but just as a, just from an analytical standpoint, logistically, would it not make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. No, that's a good spot. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that's a good spot too. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of teams out there that could use secondary depth. And the Patriots, I wouldn't say corner was ever a need for them in this offseason, but I think depth was definitely a thing to look at. And there's some players who are left in free agency, Stephon Gilmore included, who could help out with that. They have a lot of good young players, but they don't have any, I don't think they, outside of Gonzalez, I don't think they have any sure things. I like Jonathan Jones. Health has become an issue with him. I like Marcus Jones Jr. The jury's still out on him. I think he's still been pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he's a Swiss Army knife too. He can do a lot of different things. But I think Gonzalez is the only sure thing out of that defensive backfield. So I think just to add Stephon Gilmore in it, he's not just a good mentor to help guide these young kids in their defensive backfield. He's also a good depth piece in order to shore things up, because I think he would be one of the most sure things in that defensive backfield.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
I just think his days of being a defensive centerpiece are probably over.
No, he's definitely done with that. Like, it's just at the point with him where, it's just age has been a thing with him. And it sucks that he never got the payday that he wanted post New England, because he wanted to get paid. Problem is, he got hurt. He got hurt during his 2021 tenure, I want to say. 22? Around that time. He got hurt then. Then, before he could get back, he was traded to the Panthers. And he was solid with the Panthers when he got back, but it was still a small sample size. Next thing you know, he's a free agent, and then he's signing with the Colts under a one-year, $9 million deal. And then that's 1 year. And then next thing you know, I'm forgetting where he was in between then. I think it was after that. He went straight to the Cowboys, right?
After the Colts, yeah. Yeah, then he did go to Dallas.
So ever since his New England days, where he was probably playing the best football of his career, he's been a journeyman. And he's still been playing good football during that time. It's just that age betrayed him, and he had that one injury that kind of screwed him over. So things just aren't working in his favor, and it sucks because he was such a good player, and I think he deserved a payday.
Yeah, he did. And honestly, even if he did stay healthy, it sucks to say. I feel like he was – I mean, this writing was on the wall. He was out in New England, like, regardless, because Bill was not going to pay him at the time. But I just – that injury really did – that was just unfair. Because, I mean, he was okay in Carolina. He was decent in Indy, but I won't say a career renaissance. But he's proving that he is at barest minimum starting caliber.
Yeah.
And so – I'm just saying, I do think that he will be playing by the time kickoff rolls around. I mean, I'd be shocked if he didn't.
I'll give you another one, and I want to move to the offensive side of the ball. Zay Jones. And this is a guy who is, I would say, he's pretty much he is the number one free agent left out of the wide receivers. But he is now – he just visited with the Kansas City Chiefs. And Zay Jones has never been a top option. He won't be on the Chiefs. But as a two or three, he's always been okay. When he was with the Raiders, during his time with the Jaguars, he has been one of those players – who's still able to put up yardage, whether it be 700, 800 yards. And if the Chiefs can get that out of Zay Jones, that would be fantastic. And if they were to get some good yardage out of Hollywood Brown, outside of Travis Kelce, if they got something out of Xavier Worthy, it just seems like they're at a point where they're throwing things at a wall and hoping some of it sticks.
Yeah, because, I mean, I understand why they traded Tyreek Hill. I mean, you know, he obviously wanted more than they were willing to give him, and the Chiefs were in like a tiny bit of a cap bind. And by the way, there's a lot of people that say, you know, the salary cap doesn't exist. Let the Tyreek Hill trade prove you otherwise. But it just seems like even though they've gotten two rings since he's gone, I mean, they're getting wins, but they're not convincing wins. You know, they're not – Mahomes not putting his team on his back. He's not dazzling. He's they're trying to get back to that level. And like I said, I mean, granted, a win's a win, especially like in the Super Bowl. But there were some times – last season where it got scary. And Adam, I know you yourself are not high on Xavier Worthy, but oh man, I would not be shocked if they did you know, sign somebody like Zay Jones. You almost have to, especially since they do have another speedster on the team in Rashee Rice, who, except his speeding lands him perhaps in some hot water with the NFL. Yeah. And not even that. I mean, do you hear about him like apparently assaulting like some camera guy or whatever it was, or something like a club?
Yes.
Yeah. So Kansas City, you might want to look into another receiver. And even beyond Zay Jones, I mean, Hunter Renfrow exists. I know Mahomes can at least do something with him. I mean, a lot of people would clamor for Michael Thomas, perhaps, but and while I'm a big Michael Thomas fan, injuries have just destroyed his career. And it's sad to say, but I mean, maybe take a flyer on him, bring him in as a camp body, but until he proves he can stay healthy, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And I mean, like you mentioned Mecole Hardman still being out there. He's an option, but that's pretty much it. There's not that many great wide receivers left to choose from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're definitely, they need to figure it doesn't take much for Mahomes to work with what he has at the wide receiver position, but you do need something. And it seems like the Chiefs know that, but I just don't trust their, evaluating wide receiver talent. They cashed in on Tyreek Hill, and past that, they haven't done much over the past decade and a half. Like, yeah, sure, Rashee Rice was okay, but how do we know how good he was going to be? It was one season, and under Patrick Mahomes, when you're the number one option out of your receiving core, it's not that hard to put up good numbers. So how good really was he? That's my question.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're not wrong, but it's just everybody can see Mahomes, right? And we all know that Mahomes is great. It's very Brady-esque in the way that he's able to do more with less. I mean, look at what he did with guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, and for one half of a decentish season, not last year, but the year before, with Kadarius Toney. But yeah. Mahomes has done a lot to cover up the fact that Kansas City routinely swings and misses on wide receivers.
Yeah.
And if he can do more with less, then you quite literally have zero to lose with bringing a guy like Zay Jones. Or, hell, bring back Mecole Hardman or doing something. And honestly, yeah. I wouldn't be pushing for this as hard as I am if, you know, Rashee Rice wasn't in legal trouble because he has promise, but he's fast in more than one way. And it's just like, I mean, maybe even if you do hit on Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice isn't playing, then what? Just it's like Adam mentioned, you know, with T. Higgins. I mean, no one there is on T. Higgins' level, but at least bringing in a wide receiver too would help. I mean, granted, you know, there's obviously Kelce. Kelce's obviously going to be the top dog, but I just if you're also going to trust other guys like Sky Moore and Justin Watson, I would still take Zay Jones over them.
Yeah, I would take him over them. And I wonder if some of it has something to do with the amount of money they have, because wouldn't they be able to at least sign one of these players? I mean, there was some pretty good players in free agency, and they didn't really sign any of them. So even if they're just looking for, like, if we're looking for Juju Smith-Schuster, like 2022 Juju, not 23 on the Patriots, like if they had Juju, if they brought in a Rashee Rice-type player, if that's what they were looking for, Tyler Boyd was available until a few days ago. If that's what they were looking for like kind of a number two option to Travis Kelce, they could have gotten that. And they didn't really go out to try and get that. So that's just that's all. It seems like they're struggling to find competent wide receivers for Patrick Mahomes. And I hope it doesn't sink their dynasty. I'll just say that much.
Yeah, probably.
All right. That is all the scheduled content we have for today. But you have anything else before we end the show today?
Nope, not really.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. We have our episodes out on at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcasts and the latest coverage on the NFL. Check out our TikTok at FumbleRooskiPod as well. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.